Please do keep that second reading in front of you there on page 1222, and let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your words, through which you address us personally, teach us about yourself, and shape our lives. Please open our eyes to see wonderful things in your word, and open our hearts to take them in. Amen. New Year's resolutions. To get more exercise, to drink less coffee and more water, to spend less time on social media and more time talking to people face to face. Hasten to add, these are not my own personal New Year's resolutions. They're some popular ones I found on the internet. My favourite I found online was this: I resolve to be more assertive, if that's okay with you all. I don't know if you make New Year's resolutions or not, but today, of course, is the last Sunday of 2018. As we look ahead to the year in front of us, I wonder what challenges you expect. Are there new things which are coming up for you in 2019? As followers of Jesus, what challenges might we expect in the year ahead? And I also wonder what hopes we have for 2019. Again, as Christians, are there things we're praying for ourselves, our families, our friends in the year ahead? Challenges and hopes. Well, as a one-off this week, we're looking at the start of 2 Peter. This wonderful letter nestles here near the end of our New Testament. It's from the Apostle Peter. He tells us a little later that he was writing conscious that it was very near the end of his life. And he was writing so that once he had gone, Christians would be equipped to stand firm, to resist erroneous teaching, but also so that Christians would be equipped to keep growing, to grow in their knowledge of Jesus and their appreciation of his grace and his generosity. And this letter is a huge help to us in that. But I want us to see this morning just 2 things in these first 11 verses, and then a challenge from God to shape us in 2017. This that comes from knowing that his own glory and goodness. Through these he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Wow. He's saying in Jesus Christ we have all that we need. Now the life he refers to here is life in relationship with God, life in fellowship with our Maker, which we have now in Jesus and forever. And the godliness he's talking about, well, the godliness is becoming little by little more like God in his goodness, in his moral excellence, in his love and his purity. We're learning here that in Jesus, we have everything we need for life and godliness. That's such a precious promise. We don't know what the new year holds. We know that life, there's no promise that life will be easy or that the year will go as we would choose. But we are promised that we are not ill-equipped. Whatever happens, in Jesus we have all we need for life in relationship with God and godliness in whatever challenges we face. I was shown a few years ago, visiting a RAF station, the emergency survival equipment which they used to give pilots in the old USSR, and then contrasted with the emergency survival equipment that British pilots have today. And it was a huge difference. Rather shockingly, the survival equipment in the USSR was 3 bars. 1 bar of chocolate, 1 bar of fuel, and then a 3rd bar, which may have been a bar of soap, or it may have been some kind of water purification thing. But that's all you had. If you bailed out over the water, it was your 3 bars. Whereas for the British aviators, it was quite a magnificent array of things. Not 1, but 2 inflatable life rafts. Something went wrong with the first one. Those tinfoil blankets to keep you warm. A whole array of delicious-sounding rations. A radio to call for help. And then this magnificent straw, which turns salt water into fresh, so you'd have no shortage of drinking water. Ill-equipped contrasted with actually having everything you needed for survival on the sea. Now, brothers and sisters, as we seek to live for God in this year ahead, I know it can often feel as if we're ill-equipped. The challenges we face are more than our own strength, I know. But the truth we learn in verse 3 is that actually we are well-equipped, like those British aviators. Not from our own strength, but because in Jesus we have everything we need for life and for godliness. Peter continues in verse 4, through these he has given us his very great and precious promises. Think of the promises we have in the gospel. The promise of forgiveness, that we are clothed in the righteousness of Jesus. God sees us as perfect. The promise of intimate and permanent relationship with God as his sons and daughters. The promise of his Spirit, who actually gets to work within us to restore us, to transform us, to make us whole in God's image. And the promise of one day being with Christ our Saviour in glory. These are great and precious promises. And Peter says that through them we may participate in the divine nature. As we trust his promises, we become like God in his divine goodness, his divine holiness. And we may escape the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. Little by little, we're able to escape the pull of sin in the world around us and in our hearts. So what a promise God gives us. In Jesus, we have everything we need for life and godliness. And I think this is a very inspiring promise as we look ahead to 2019. You see, we don't know what challenges we'll face in our own lives, what things may come up in our families, in our circle of friends, what challenges we may face in the workplace, with our own health, with our finances. We don't know what the year ahead holds, but we do know this. In Jesus, we have everything we need for life and godliness. We are equipped for life in relationship with God and for responding in a godly way to whatever challenges may come. And actually, verse 3 also shows us where we find these resources. Where do we look for those resources when the challenges come? Well, they come through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. They come through our knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now, in the Bible, knowledge is always more than information. Knowledge in the Bible is relationship. It's knowing Jesus personally. I popped into the library the week before Christmas to read Hello magazine, strictly for research purposes. If you saw me in there poring over Hello with a strange intent, now you know why. Knew I couldn't get away with it in secrecy. Well, that magazine contains all kinds of information about celebrities. So I now know what Colleen Rooney likes to do on her holidays and where she buys her clothes. I also know all about Gwyneth Paltrow and Brad Falchuk's wedding, what they wore and who they invited. Don't worry, I wasn't quite sure who they all were either. You see, having read Hello, I know information about them, but I don't know them. But actually, their family and their friends, they can say, yes, I know Colleen, I know Gwyneth, I know Brad. Well, Christians and Christian brothers and sisters, if our trust is in Jesus, we can say, I know God. I know Jesus Christ. He's a living reality in our lives. That changes how we read the Bible. We're not just reading for information. We're reading to get to know a person better. We can ask, what has he personally done for me personally? What promises is he making me today? What commands is he giving me for my life? And in our lives, we can know this Jesus with us. His promises being dependable in the challenges we face. His instructions being put into practice in our lives. So that the Jesus we know in our lives is the same Jesus who we meet in the scriptures. We know Jesus as we follow him. What a promise for believers at the start of the new year. Whatever challenges we may face, in Jesus we have all we need for life with God and for godliness, for being like him. And these resources come through our relationship with Christ as we walk with him. So that's the promise that Peter gives us. Let's look also at the challenge that Peter gives us, which I want to take sort of as our New Year's resolution as a congregation as a whole, if you like. The challenge that Peter gives us in these verses. And that is to keep growing as Christians. He's saying, don't stand still in your life with Jesus. Don't freewheel, don't coast. Resolve to keep growing as Christians. Let's look at verses 5 to 7. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. Peter is calling us to make every effort to grow in these qualities. As we work through them and look at their meaning, maybe think, what would it mean for you in your life to grow in these ways? So he says, make every effort to add to your faith goodness. Now that's a very general quality. It's also translated virtue. It means in every area of life, seeking to live in a way that's pleasing to God and attractive to people around us. And he says, and add to goodness knowledge. So we've seen that, that's knowledge of God and his truth, but also a growing relationship with him as we walk with him. And into knowledge adds self-control. Now self-control is the ability to do what we know is right, even when passions are raging within us, when anger, when frustration, when despair or selfish desire comes, to be able to say no and do what we know is right. And he says, into self-control add perseverance. Now, perseverance is keeping trusting God in trials, keeping on seeking to serve God, even when life is very difficult. And to perseverance, add godliness. So we've seen godliness is that where the attitudes of our hearts are more and more like the attitude of God's heart, in his purity, in his love, in his wisdom. And to godliness, add brotherly kindness. This is the wonderful affection for the Christian family, which shows itself in warmth of relationships and in practical help and kindness. And then he says, and to brotherly kindness, add love. That crowning quality which opens our hearts to others, which delights in their good, which takes pleasure in putting their needs before ours, and which gladly sacrifices so that they can flourish. So Peter's challenge to us is to make every effort to keep growing in these qualities. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, it's a big ask. I know straight away this is beyond me and in my resources. But notice how verse 5 starts. For this very reason, because God has given us all we need for life and godliness, make every effort. You see, he calls us to make the effort, but the power for growth, well, that comes from Jesus Christ. He brings the growth as we make the effort. It's Peter's challenge, keep on growing as Christians. Now, we popped to the park yesterday with our baby Matthew, who's a year old, and we noticed how many kids were riding bikes in the park. Matthew isn't, he's only one, he can't walk. But loads of people were on bikes, and many of those bikes were new, and children were being taught to ride bikes. And of course, what they were learning, as we all know, is that in riding a bike, you have to keep moving forward. It's no good stopping. You can't freewheel, you can't coast for too long. You've got to keep moving forward on that bike. And Peter is saying, it's just the same in the Christian life. If you read on in the letter, you'll see many of Peter's readers, they were mature Christians. They had lots of great knowledge. But Peter is saying to them, you've got to keep growing. You can't stand still in the Christian life. It's not safe to coast or to freewheel for too long. You need to keep growing. You notice in verse 8 he says, "For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure," it's the growth again, "they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." It's as we grow we're effective and productive. "But if anyone does not have them, he's short-sighted and blind and has forgotten that he's been cleansed from our past sins." If we're not growing, it may be that we've lost sight of what Jesus has done for us to cleanse us from our sins. He's saying, keep growing as Christians. That's why Peter writes in verse 10, "Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure." Now, we can't make our calling and election any more sure to God. He knows who he has called. But we can make them more sure to us. The way we grow in assurance, the way we grow in confidence that God has called us and we are his, is actually by growing as Christians. Peter continues, "For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ." It's riding the bike again. The way to be stable, the way not to fall, the way to reach your destination is to keep moving forward, to keep growing in our faith. So let me ask us, what helps you grow as a Christian? For you personally, what have you found over the years helps you grow in goodness, in knowledge, in self-control, in perseverance, in godliness, brotherly kindness, and love? Maybe it's prioritizing being here at church regularly. You know, those who are here regularly, one thing they all have in common is that from time to time they'll say no to other things in order to prioritize being here to grow together with others. Maybe it's taking time in the week to read in the scriptures and to pray, carving out that precious time to grow in God's word. Maybe it's committing to being part of a small group to study, to discuss, to grow together with. Maybe it's finding perhaps one or two of those qualities that Peter has mentioned and taking time to pray, perhaps once a month, for growth in those qualities. Whatever it is that helps you grow is of vital importance in the year ahead. And we've seen that the heart of all growth is that close walk with Jesus. You know, coming to him again and again and saying, "Lord, I've turned away from you again. I'm not growing as I should. Forgive me and help me grow." And you know, as we do that, we find he's the one who forgives the sinner, who challenges the complacent, who frees the captive, who strengthens the weak, and who enables us to grow. So looking ahead to the year in front of us, what a promise Peter has given us. We don't know what challenges will come in each one of our lives in the next 12 months. But we do know that in Jesus we have everything we need for life and godliness. We are equipped for life in relationship with him and for growing in Christ-likeness. And what a challenge Peter has given us. Keep growing as Christians. I don't know if you have New Year's resolution or not, but this one is essential. In the Christian life, we can't freewheel or coast. The way to be effective, the way to be productive, the way not to fall, the way to reach the destination is to make every effort to keep growing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, on our own, we can't grow in godliness and in these other qualities. And so we praise you for your promise that in Jesus we have everything we need for life and godliness. Help us to hold on to that in the uncertainties of the year ahead. And we pray that knowing that you are at work in us, we would make every effort to grow in these ways. And that as a church family, you would keep us moving forward together.